Thank you for sharing that wonderful truth. The Lord has interposed his precious blood. Glory, what a wonderful thing to sing of on this Mother's Day. And I am glad to be with you here on this Mother's Day, Lord's Day, and remembering what God has done for us and thanking him for our salvation and for the many gifts he's given, made richer by the hands he's passed it through. And today we remember mothers, and that's exciting. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, as an evangelist, I sometimes will see an event or a special day of remembrance and think, well, I don't want to preach on that. That's just too obvious. And sometimes you need to just say, hey, that's obvious. We should talk about that. Sometimes I miss that at home as well. My wife was trying to show me something on the computer for Christmas. She had a gift that she thought would be a great idea for herself, and so she kind of left a little window open, had a picture of it, and I said, hey, what's this? Got it out of the way and went about something else, and she goes, yeah, wouldn't that have been a great gift? Did I miss that? Yes, I did. I missed that pretty obvious thing. Well, I don't want to miss the obvious this morning. It's Mother's Day, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about what God says about mothers, at least in part, and how the Lord uses motherhood, especially motherhood that's lived in faith. As we take the opportunities the Lord gives us, each of us in our own unique responsibilities, we have wonderful potential to please God with our lives, because by faith it is possible to please him. We can rephrase Hebrews 11:6 there. The Lord wants us to believe him and to please him that way. And sometimes it seems that in practical avenues of life, this is the most difficult. Or that perhaps for ladies in motherhood, is it so difficult to apply these great big spiritual truths in things that are to us mundane, commonplace, but the glory of a Christian life is that it transforms the commonplace, and that it is applied directly to the mundane, to those things that we think, well, this is just what's happening. I can't stop. This is life. Faith applied is what we're looking for, is what God's looking for in our every area, every nook and cranny of our life and how we live our day-to-day existence. Hebrews 11 tells us something that is very helpful about motherhood. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We'll read more in just a moment, but let's ask the Lord to help us as we look into his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for providing for every need. Thank you for the mothers you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown yourself strong through them to us, and we're grateful. Thank you, Lord, that you reach every single one of us. Thank you that you're not far away from any of us, but that you can affect every aspect of our lives. Please help us now as we look into your word to see something, Lord, to see your truth that you have for each one of us. Apply it to our hearts. We open them to you and ask, Holy Father, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are times in Scripture where God makes some things extremely clear, especially prior to a scene that maybe we would get confused by. One of those that's very helpful to me personally is in the book of Job. We won't turn there, but you know how the book of Job starts with God declaring to the devil, Job is perfect and upright. He fears me and he hates evil and he's doing right. Now, that's very helpful because the whole middle 38 chapters or so of that book gets very confusing as Job's pious three friends start to attack him. And after you read enough of their arguments, you might start thinking Job's pretty bad too. But God ends the book by saying, you three friends have not spoken the thing right about me like Job has, because he's perfect and upright. You go to him and let him sacrifice for you. So it starts off the book with saying, Joe's perfect and upright. It ends the book saying Joe's perfect and upright. And boy, if you look at the middle chapters and keep God's view in mind, while God sees Job and what he's walking through, what God is leading him through and to, that's very, very helpful. Very helpful. It's right. You know that even if his three friends get it wrong, God's got it right. Now, this passage in Hebrews 11 does some of that same thing for me. It tells me something about Sarah that I might have missed if I had just read the passage in Genesis, and we will look at that in a little bit. I would not have thought of Sarah getting introduced to this list of people we call the heroes of faith. And it has nothing to do with her being a lady. There's wonderful stories in the Old Testament of women of faith, and I love to read those and be encouraged by them and keep them in my mind as I think about what God can do in a human being. It's glorious. It's wonderful. But Sarah is not one that I would immediately think of. I think of the story of what happened and the circumstances going around in their life. If you're not familiar, we will recap in a moment. But that's just not one that pops to mind. But God says, I want you to remember Sarah in her motherhood and how she got there by faith. I want you to remember how she believed me in light of the situation and circumstance that she found herself in. Sarah was a mother by faith. She was a mother who believed the Lord, and even she became a mother because she believed the Lord. That had not been available to her prior to this instance of faith where she was following the Lord. Sarah had some unique things about her we can see just in verse 11. And we read the verse, but I want you to notice just a few words here. First in verse 11, it says that through faith also Sarah herself. We see that Sarah's faith was personal. It was her decision of faith. It was her individual reliance upon the Lord. Sarah was following a believing man. She was following Abraham, who's called the father of faith. For all of us who follow after are following what Abraham did in listening to God and going out from his own country to seek something else. That's the man's role. That's what Abraham's doing. That's the father of faith. But the wife of the father of faith exercised faith herself. She made daily decisions. Some of them were decisions of faith. Some of them were not. But in this, she is praised and remembered. And we are told to think about her in her motherhood and the concept that she got there because she herself personally believed God. This is reiterated also at the end of verse 11 when it says, she judged him faithful who had promised. Abraham had to make decisions of faith for his family. He had to decide, we're leaving here, we're going there, that's what's going to happen, I'm leading that direction. And his family followed him. But when it came to the issue of childbearing, when it came to whether or not Sarah was going to say, you know, this is not going to happen. This is not going to work. God's made a promise that he can't keep. Sarah had to herself judge God faithful in that he had promised. And she did that. It was a personal decision. Motherhood lived by faith is a personal decision for every mother. And gentlemen, it's something we can encourage our mothers to do. And children, it's something you can encourage your mothers to do, or our wives, gentlemen, forgive me. It's something we should encourage one another to do and help each other in. Sometimes when I travel, my wife has to make decisions about what we're going to do with the family in my absence. I'm gone sometimes for a month at a time. I remember one time she was telling me about a chance where the kids were kind of on the edge of sickness. A couple of them were, and she couldn't decide, well, it's Sunday night. Should we try to find a service or to go to church, rather? And, you know, the kids are kind of sick, and she couldn't decide. She was thinking about all these things, and I wasn't there, and you got five kids, and there's lots of stuff happening. And as she's thinking about all this, one of our sons walked up to her and said, Mom, if Dad were here, we go. Encouraging to faith. And she said, you know what? You're right. Get in the car. And that's what happens when personally women, ladies, mothers make decisions of faith for themselves, to believe the Lord for the thing that he's put underneath them, for the responsibilities underneath their care and trust. And we all together have a vested interest in helping that happen and encouraging that and putting our wives, our mothers even, in an atmosphere of, yes, we believe the Lord, we're with you, we're going to do this. Sarah made a personal decision of faith. Secondly, we see that she made a practical decision of faith. Verse 11 says she received strength to conceive seed. She needed to have something practical happen. This was faith applied to the nitty-gritty areas of life. This was faith applied to something that is primarily, we think of, as physical. We would think, well, Sarah, maybe you should try this herbal supplement, or maybe you should do this, or maybe if you ate this, or maybe if you rested more, or whatever, you would be able to do this. But she applied faith in this practical living of the everyday life that we think of as primarily physical. She got strength to be a mother through faith. Motherhood is intensely practical. It is intensely practical. You're continually confronted with everyday situations. Yesterday, I think we had 2 scraped knees, and you get sicknesses and illnesses and the need to keep people healthy and to have the right provision and everything in place, and mothers are constantly synthesizing all of those things. I sometimes say that men are the visionary leader. They pick a goal, and they're going for it, and mothers are able to keep everything balanced while that's happening. They're able to synthesize and build this network and keep everything balanced. And men go, huh, I got this one goal. I'm going this way. And the mother, the wife, is able to say, well, that's good. You do that, or I agree with that. I'm following you. And balance all of these things around. We need both, don't we? We need the drive. We need the goals. We need the vision. Men, do that. And encourage your wives to be ladies of faith who take practical steps. Sarah's faith exercise brought out something primarily as a physical reality, a child. What a great blessing it was. What a great, great blessing was opened up by Sarah applying faith to something extremely, intensely practical. Ladies, do not allow yourselves the luxury of saying, this is a practical, physical thing, and I have to do it, and we always do it, and this is how we do it. Apply faith to those things. Ask God for grace and receive strength to do everyday practical physical things. Receive strength from Him, grace from Him, to be the mother you can be for His glory. You say, as I'm working in the house? Oh, yes. As I'm working through an illness? Oh, yes. As I'm putting all the things together to make everything happen? Yes, yes, yes. That's what Sarah did. In a personal way, she herself applied faith. In a practical way, she herself applied faith. Thirdly, in a powerful way, she applied faith to her life. You see, in verse 11, it says she was delivered of child when she was past age. Now, that's a very polite way of saying she was old. Not likely to happen. Not going to happen, humanly speaking. But something important took place here. She judged God faithful. And you know what's interesting? She probably didn't get to that place of believing the Lord until she was 90 years old. Lord, are you really going to do this? I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80. Oh, Lord, you have to do it. I'm 90 years old. It was a powerful result. You can look at verse 12 and see that. Therefore, because Sarah believed God, therefore sprang there even of one, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Do you see what happened? Because Sarah believed God in a personal, practical, powerful way, everything changed for all of us. forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? When you think about motherhood and all that it entails, what it's meant for you as a mother, all you've walked through and all you've been through, it is difficult sometimes. I'll say this as an aside for ladies and for men. It's difficult sometimes for us to look back and to see all the blessings and say, okay, and now how do I live faith next? We often look back to past blessings and are tempted to rest back on our laurels or to think that what I did before is what I should keep doing now. But believe me, when God saved you and changed you, He wants you to always keep growing. It never looks the same all the way through. Never, ever, ever. That's not what He does. He doesn't let us plateau and say, okay, that's enough. You've grown enough. You've learned that. That's great. That's all I wanted you to learn. No, never. We're always supposed to be going higher. We're also always supposed to be growing. There's no determinate growth. We're people now who are made after the image of Christ, and the limit of our Christ-likeness is Christ. Live Christ. Keep living Christ. Keep growing in Christ and allowing Him to change you more and more like to Himself. You'll never reach the top. Just keep going. It gets better and better. Sarah had no doubt seen God's provision in amazing ways. Deliverance in difficult situations from famine and conflict. And she was there when Sodom and Gomorrah were taken over and Lot was taken captive. And she was there when the cities were destroyed. And she was there when they went down to the Philistine king and the Egyptian. She was there through all that. And she saw God provide. But she needed to believe Him for another thing. Something in her 90 years she had never experienced and never thought was possible. But she believed Him. She judged God faithful and applied that faith to the practical, personal area of her life of childbearing, and something glorious happened. Something wonderful happened. Abraham, the father of faith, is still impacting, still having children follow in faith. Awesome. Awesome truth. Now, this is all in this text. It's perhaps not what we would have thought of when we thought of Sarah. It's not what I would have thought of. It is what God wants. Hebrews 11:6, you can look at it there, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is God's desire for all of us, mothers or no, to apply faith to every area of our life, to believe Him for the practical and the personal and the powerful, to let God's reality change our moment-by-moment living. Romans 14:23 is a very strong command, given in the end of a very practical passage about what Christians should eat, because there were questions about that. And what should be consumed by people who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Was it right to eat things offered by idols, to idols? Was it okay if we didn't know? What if we did know? And how do we respond to this? And Paul writes through all the details. And then in the end, it's almost an assumed statement. Because of course you know, he could say. Of course you realize that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And ladies, that applies to everything. Men, it applies to everything. The life of a Christian is a life lived in faith. It is an exercise, a daily dependence, a reliance upon Him. That is the only way to please Him. And without that, we are in sin. We're not doing right. And we can. Paul does not write that at the end of chapter 14 to say, so just do whatever because you're never going to get it right. He says, as you apply belief in the Lord and in His word and what He has said to every area of life, you have victory. You overcome the world. You win. You please Him, Hebrews 11:6. You please Him by faith. And yes, especially in the practical. The Bible points us to this faith, though we might not have been impressed by Sarah's life by just reading that account. But you know, as I was thinking about that, looking back, I was wondering, how could I look back at Sarah's life and perhaps others and filter through that with the same sort of lens? What could I find in Sarah's life? And then how could I apply that to other examples of motherhood given in the Bible? How can I get to that place where I can understand using this Hebrews 11 sieve to get through what Sarah did and understand, okay, in her story, here's how she believed the Lord. Here's how she exercised and evidenced faith. And you know, if you take those principles, and we'll look at them in just a moment, if you take what you learn when you do that, then you can look at other passages, and you know what? There's a huge contrast between motherhood done by faith and motherhood done by self-effort and will. Would you turn back to Genesis chapter 30, please? Genesis chapter 30. I am grateful that the Bible does not whitewash the characters in it. When I was over in Jordan, we were living there. We were talking to Muslims, and they were telling us that whenever a prophet is mentioned in the Quran, he is a sinless person. The prophet does not sin. When they told me that one of their prophets was Lot, Abraham's nephew, I said, well, what about him? And they go, well, he didn't sin while he was a prophet. I said, well, okay. But you know, the Bible doesn't do that. The hero of the Bible is God. It's not the individual people, although they are great examples and encouragement. They're a cloud of witnesses for us. But the focus of the Bible is the perfect one who's telling us who he is and what we should and can and must be. Genesis 30 tells us about some imperfect people. And tonight, if you come back, we will look at imperfect motherhood and how faith and victory comes through imperfect people. But in Genesis 30, we're given a story about a family that has lots of difficulty. It's Jacob's family. Jacob's family has unique stresses on it, caused by deceit by his father-in-law, caused by a rivalry between sisters, and a marriage that has four ladies involved with one man. Difficult, difficult situation, not easily worked through. When you see the ins and outs of it, you learn to be very sympathetic to these women involved in this. This is a difficult thing to read. And I say all this because we find ourselves in this day and age surrounded by very difficult situations caused by sin. It's hard. But I want us to realize that as we look straight at it and see it for exactly as God reveals it to be, we can still and must still believe the Lord for it. God is able. He's able to change people today. Some of you remember years and years ago. I remember the first time when I could say, you know, 20 years ago, oh wait, I can remember something that was 20 years ago. Some of you can remember years and years back, our society and our culture was not frazzled and frayed and torn at the edges so much, and perhaps even in the center now seems disintegrating and falling apart. You remember when people would expect children to have a father and a mother. That was a normal occurrence. And today it's not, for many different reasons. You would expect people to try to avoid unseemly sins and things that were not nice, polite company, were not acceptable, were not okay. And today, no visual remorse for even public disgraces that we would consider even 10, 20 years ago was just unthinkable. If you see those things and you're bothered by them, then now is the time to believe the Lord for victory over them. Now is the time to say, it wasn't because we were good, it's because he is good right now. And if we're going to get victory, it'll be by his grace applied in the middle of this tragic need in which our country finds itself, by which we're surrounded right now. We, as Christians, must seize the day and win. If it bothers you, then pray. If it disturbs you, then witness. And if you are moved at all by God's mercy, because he has not yet destroyed us, then live in godliness and in glory and bring it on to other people. This family situation probably would be almost normal today. Jacob's still around. He's married to these women. They're having these children. You know, Rachel and Leah had a strained relationship, and we're going to read just a few verses. Rachel was, of course, barren. She's not able to have children, and that difficulty is on her for many years in the marriage, and she's disturbed by it. One day, Leah becomes the owner of some herbal root-type medicine that Rachel is convinced will help her be able to have children, and Rachel wants to get that. So she goes to her sister and says, "Hey, let me have some of those. Let me have that root that I can make a medicine out of and hopefully be able to have a child." And Leah says, "Yeah, right. You've stolen my husband, and now you want me to help you?" Rachel and Leah kind of go at this, and Leah leverages Rachel's barrenness and bitterness and hurt because of that, or her desire to want to have a child, twists her arm and says, "Now, let me have my husband back, at least for a little while." Leah and Jacob's out in the field. And you know, sometimes we think out in the field, we kind of look out, we see a field, we think he went out of the house for the day, is working. He might have been out for quite a while. Remember when Joseph went to visit his brothers and to see how they were doing out in the field with the herds? He went out for quite a ways, perhaps days and days journey away to where the herds were feeding. Jacob may have been out just like that. He was out for a long time. He doesn't know what's happening back at the house. He doesn't know about the roots and the medicine. He doesn't understand any of these things. He just sees Leah going, "Hey, over here." Leah conceives. Look down, please, at verse 17. This is an amazing statement. "God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob, the fifth son." God gave Leah a son. Look at verse 18. See Leah's response. "And Leah said, God hath given me my hire because, this is Leah's reasoning, because I have given my maiden to my husband." Leah looks at God's provision and says, "This has happened. This has gone about because of my plan. Because of what I did, this is what happened." And you know there's a twinge of bitterness in this, because now not only is Jacob's heart taken over by her sister, but also her sister's maiden and her maiden. Further divided. What a twinge she must feel, even when she makes a statement. But she goes, "Well, at least I got a child." And she names the child Issachar, which means the hire of a man or the price of a man. What it takes to have a child. I bought it. I got it. It's mine. This is a personal and practical yet paralyzing reality that Leah's in. She's stuck. And she knows it. And even as she names her son, she says it. Here's why this happened. She says, "I worked, I planned, and therefore I have a son. I figured out this way to do this, and I have a son." And I realize, and as I'm doing it, that my husband now has four wives. And that I've had to plan and scheme and get this, but I got it. I got it. I want you to see a contrast of this. If you'll turn over to Genesis 21, we'll go back to Sarah. You remember Sarah, when she was told she was going to have a child, and she was so old, and Abraham's so old, she's laughing. She's thinking, "That ain't going to happen. No way. How am I going to have a child? My husband's old. I mean, I thought I was old, but he's really old. This isn't going to work." She has a child, of course. She conceives. Look at Genesis 21. Look at her response. Verse 5, "Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. You remember when Sarah had first heard she was going to have a child and God promised she's going to have a child about this time? It's going to happen. And what was her response? She laughed. And God said, "Why did you laugh?" She said, "Oh, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh." You know, when she has a child, you know what she does? She confesses it. That's what she's doing here. Abraham names a child laughter. Ishaq. I love it. It's great. It sounds almost like the Arabic. Idhaq. It laugh. Laugh for joy. Sarah says, "Yeah, he made me laugh and really laugh with joy." There's a confession. There's an openness. There's a joy as she's realizing this is what God has done. She says in verse number 6, "God has made me to laugh. God has given me a son." You know, back in Genesis chapter 30, we saw that Leah, God gave her a son. God hearkened to Leah, gave her a son. But what's Leah's response? "Yeah, I hired this. I worked it out. Gave my maiden to my husband, and yeah, I got what I paid for." But look at Sarah's response in Genesis 21. She says, "God did this. God did this. God did this." In a very personal and practical and now powerful way, her life resonates with the reality of God's hand touching her. Leah's resonates with the reality of human will that paralyzes. It doesn't give liberty. It doesn't give freedom. It doesn't give strength. Sarah wins because she believes God. And Leah loses, though she has the child. You know, it's remarkable that God is working in both of these situations. He's at work in both of them. He's giving sons to both Leah and to Sarah. But one gets a response of joy because she responds in faith. She believes God and she gets a victory. But the other one, she gets a response of bitterness because she did it herself. She worked it herself. She willed it herself. Or so she thinks. She can't even see that God's the one that did it. She says, I hired this out. I did this. You know, there's a lot of similarities between Leah and Sarah. I hadn't thought about all the similarities until I was thinking through this issue, but they both had problems with childbearing. And if any of you have, if you have children and you've gone through problems or you've seen others who have, you realize how difficult that can be on the human mind as to why is this taking place and what are we supposed to do and how do we fix this? They both had those problems. They both had handmaids, servants, that they gave to their husbands. Sarah did that with Hagar. Leah does that. They both have that problem, that weight on them. It's an unbelief and a grief for both of them. Sarah wasn't perfect. She had unbelief in giving Hagar to her husband, of course. But she wasn't stuck there. She believed the Lord. They both had strife in their marriage. Leah and Rachel had sisterly strife. But you know, a lot of the strife in Abraham and Sarah's marriage is caused in a unique way, perhaps. They were brother and half-sister, half-brother and sister there. And I mentioned before the difficulty they had in Abraham letting Sarah go to the kings in some ways. And that's a long story as well. It twice took place there. Both Sarah and Leah were buried in the same tomb. They were buried in the same tomb. They had a lot of similarities in their life. God was at work giving these sons in both situations. But faith wrought joy in Sarah, while work and will brought bitterness to Leah's heart. Mothers have enormous potential in very personal and practical areas to apply faith and win so that many others will have joy. That's what Sarah's victory is, Genesis 21. Everyone who hears it will laugh with me. This 90-year-old woman having a baby. God given victory over barrenness. God fulfilling his promise. Laugh with me in faith. That's why she's in Hebrews 11. Mothers, you have that same potential. Many, many other people will either be influenced by the bitterness that comes from work and self-effort and will. Or they will be impacted with joy that comes from faith in you trusting God for very personal and practical, everyday, all the time areas of your life. You here today, mothers, what a joy. And I am grateful that so many came to hear from the Lord today. May the Lord encourage you to believe Him, to be a mother in faith, and to get great victories and joy, even laughter, ecstatic joy for those around you. To be a source of joy for multitudes of people, that they might join you in the faith that brings that joy. The Lord can use all of us. And I hope that this very practical view of some very personal and physical things would help us, all of us, to say, Lord, use me like that. I want to believe you right now. Shall we bow before Him? As you consider what the Lord has said this morning in His Word, perhaps there's something that you have not been trusting Him for, a difficulty that seemed overwhelming. But the Lord has spoken in His Word and has told us what He wants us to have so that we will believe Him. Would you believe Him today? Would you be a mother or a father or a child in faith, trusting the Lord for the things that He wants you to have and to know, for the victories He wants you to show to others so that you can impart joy, be a channel of blessing and of faith to others? The contrast is stark. But I wouldn't dwell on that so much because the potential is so huge. It's amazing what God did through Sarah. That one would, and him as good as dead, would have so many children of faith. That's what's before us this morning. If you're here and you say, that's the burden of my heart, I want to believe him for areas where I have not yet done so. And I come before him now to ask his help and to trust him for those specific, personal, practical areas of my life, for his joy and his victory. Is that your heart? Would you raise your hand? Say, that's me. Yes. Others? Amen. Others? As we bow before him and as we pray, would you commit yourself that way and say, Lord, I'm coming. I want to believe you for these things that I have not been doing that in. Please help me. I give them to you now in faith for the victory you have for me. Father, as we come before you now, and we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you for giving us so many examples, not of people who were perfect, but of people who trusted you, so we could see your beauty and your glory, your victories. Lord, we want to see them in our lives. Please help us to apply your truth to our hearts. Please help us, Lord, to believe you in everyday practical things in which we've grown accustomed to not exercising faith. We've grown accustomed to doing it ourselves. Lord, please awake us from the slumber of self-satisfaction. May we see anew and afresh the great and glorious things you've planned for those who trust you. Lord, may we be like Sarah and receive strength to do the things that only you can give strength to do. Help us as we come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.